Good morning, family. All right. Did anyone tell you today that you look beautiful? I just did. All right. Even with all the wrong jerseys I've seen some of you wearing, that's okay. You still look beautiful to me, and I'm glad you're here. I want to just put it out there. I don't mean to embarrass or anything, but somebody left Chicago yesterday around 5 p.m., drove all night, and made it here to worship with us today. And I'm just humbled by that and appreciative. And Jonathan, thank you for being here, man. And because Jonathan is here, Corey was here, and we're just blessed to have the families. And I know we all come with different weeks, different stories, and different burdens. And I just want to tell you that I'm glad that we're here, because church is about having each other as well. And being assured that we're not on this journey alone. Buenos dias. I also met someone this morning, someone who greeted me in my language. So I wanted to return that favor and welcome. So here's the deal. I think it's been set up, so it's a pretty obvious decision. But more than a few months ago, I did this. I gave you guys the option on the message for the day. And I was meeting with the youth a couple of weeks ago, and they told me, remember when you did that? That was so cool. We like being empowered to choose the message. So I want to do that this morning as well. I have two things that I think we can talk about today. Jared knows because they're prepared. Well, Paul, actually. Paul, happy birthday, my man. Coming soon. There's two things that we can talk about that are being queued up. And I want to tell you what they are. And then I want us to pray together and decide what we need to spend time on today. The first one is about the journey. And it's about things that I've learned from you, things that you guys have taught me as we've been on this journey together. It's a little recap about the 21 days of prayer as well, and all the lessons that I learned from you. It's about hope. It's about overcoming. It's about endurance. It's about assurance. It's about each other. It's about story. It's about spending the best of us on others, and then others spending the best of themselves in us. And it's about courage and encouragement and about looking at the future with hope. That's the one about the beauty in the journey. And there might be a story there about my vacation recently. There might be a story about dinosaurs. I don't know. Maybe something like that. The other one is about passion. It's about passion, her twin sister, her stepbrother, and her perfect mate, and how do we keep it in check. Now, the one about passion, I was just told that the video was not working, and we can do maybe in a few weeks. The one about the journey, I think if we don't do it today, maybe we're going to let that one rest for a while. But I want us to just pray now, and I want you to decide which of these things we need to talk about today, about our journeys, about what it means to be strangers and pilgrims, or about passion, and how we find it, and how we keep it in check. Maybe we can do that one later, though. So let's pray together, and then we're going to very democratically decide what we're going to spend our time this morning in. All right? So I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to spend this time together. And we thank you for bringing us here from journeys far and near. My goodness, what a blessing we have to spend this time together. The sun is shining outside, and the sun is looking to shine on our hearts, the sun of your glory and your presence. And as we spend this time together this morning, may we find what it is that we are looking for. And may we leave this place encouraged, strengthened, and assured that you got this, that you got us, and that beautiful things lie ahead. So we thank you for this opportunity that we have once again, and we thank you for each other. So bless us with your presence through your Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, vote time. All those for the journey, the one about the beauty in the journey. Can I see your hands? Raise your hands. Just have hands, hands, hands. The journey, the journey, the journey, the journey, the journey, the journey, the journey. All right, about the one about the passion. All right, okay. It seems like it's more about the journey, I think. Okay, let's do the one about the journey, and we'll do the one about the passion maybe in a couple of weeks when I get back from Australia. Oh, yeah. So let's hand this out. Let's hand this out. Each one, grab one of these and just pass them along. All right? I'll get some started here. If you're special, you're going to get a colored one. If you're not special, you're going to get just a plain white one. It seems like all the special people are going to be on this side. All right? And Also, if you don't have anything to write, maybe you can grab a pencil. If you have something to write, just grab one and let's pass it around. If you have something to write, then you don't need a pencil. Use what you've got. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab that piece of paper, and about three quarters of the way, I want you to put a little dot on it. A little dot right there, all right? I want you to put a little dot, all right? Just about three quarters of the way, something around there, a little dot. And I want you to put then below it, maybe another three dots, and on top of it, another three dots, all right? So this is you. This is you. This is where we are right now. And as we talk a little bit, I want you to just think back on how your journey has been. Maybe it's been a smooth sailing road, good for you. Maybe it's had a lot of valleys. Maybe you're coming up a mountain. Maybe, I don't know. Just begin to draw a little bit of your journey and just look back and maybe just point a few turning points, a few key places in your journey as you think back about how has God led you over the last couple of years, couple of weeks, couple of months. How has your journey been looking back? So do that, and I won't get offended if I see you looking down. The good thing is I'll assume that you're not on your phone. I'll assume that you're doing this, so I'll feel a lot better. And just trace a little bit about your journey. If somebody didn't get a pencil and you need a pencil, there's more here. You can pass them along. Grab one and pass them along. And just trace there what your journey looks like. Now, journeys are powerful things. Journeys do amazing things. They can be scary. They can be chaotic. They can be disorganized. They can be also exciting, exhilarating, fun. And they change things. One of the things that journeys can change, and you know this, especially if you have children, they have this amazing ability to warp the space-time continuum. Sometimes the journey seems never ending. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We got a 5-year-old son, and we're getting to experience that. Sometimes when you're on the journey, it just feels like time flew by. It just went by, right? When you're having fun, when you're enjoying it, you're thinking, wow, it's over already? I can't believe it. It seems like we just got here a couple of days ago. That's what journeys do. They also tend to change our values. Have you been on vacation? Have you noticed how you begin to appreciate things that you never appreciate? You suddenly become a romantic. Oh, look at the pretty flower. Look how good this is. Because it begins to change our values and how we look at things. And it helps us to appreciate things that many times we don't get to appreciate. And many times, journeys also change us. And they change others. Sometimes the journey makes us even fearless. You guys know Cindy. If you've invited Cindy to any of your homes, you know that she's terrified of dogs. She cannot go into the French residence without panicking. And this is Cindy just 2 weeks ago feeding dogs. Can you believe that? I don't know how it happens, but it's something about the journey. This was in Argentina a couple weeks ago, and these are dogs that are public dogs. They don't have an owner. They just roam around. And something about being in the journey changed Cindy, and she's no longer afraid of dogs. So feel free to invite her to your house now. She might actually go. But journeys change us, and they change people around us. But there's something about journeys that is particularly important. Journeys are not thoroughly enjoyed unless they're shared. You know what I mean? Unless you have somebody to share that journey with, that journey is just not the same. In 2016, I got a chance to go to Australia, and I went through Dubai. And I was all alone, and I had a layover of about 13 hours in Dubai. And I got to, it was one of my dreams for the longest time to see Dubai, see all those buildings and that jewel in the middle of the desert. And it was so amazing, something that I wanted to do for years. And I finally had my chance, and all the time that I was there, I was thinking, oh, I wish Cindy was here. I wish Cindy was here. I wish Cindy was here. And the only moment when I got to actually enjoy that journey was when I got home and I shared with Cindy all the pictures that I took and all the places, because there's something about the journey that unless it's shared, it's just not the same. So over the course of 21 days, we spent time sharing each other's journeys. And we did 21 days of prayer. And I want to share some of the things that I learned from you guys. So I'm going to do this very quickly. But here's the deal. All the stories are archived on our website. So if you didn't, on our Facebook page. So if you didn't get to see this, now, if any of the stories sound interesting, you get to go back and hear them again and watch them again. But there's something powerful about sharing our journeys. And on the first day, we had Jonathan Lucas, who shared about his journey and his soul searching, and he's shared about all his things. And he just walked in, so now I have to say the truth. But he was inspired about this awe of God and how through everything that he has been and all his passion and all his work, he came to the realization of how important it is to worship God. And that's how he had learned. Jason Alexis, he's the one, the individual who does our website. He shared about how his life led him to turn his passion, his IT skills, into somehow trying to ministry to others by starting his own company to develop IT solutions for people. And he shared how in that journey he has been unemployed. His wife was unemployed. He moved to Texas weeks before Harvey hit, and he found himself homeless. And somehow he was there sharing his story. And Carolyn shared about the power of prayer and how life has led her through different places. And she's now with us, and she's in Regent studying. And if you ever have a power outage, you need to call Carolyn and blame her for that, because she prayed for God to answer prayers, and a power outage came about just to answer her prayer. And she shared about the power of prayer. So each time the power goes out now, Carolyn, I think of you. But that's how we share. And Bill Miller shared, look at that, at 6 a.m. with a tie and a shirt. That's commitment right there. And he shared how he has learned to pray all over again over the last year. Because we always pray about God, be with so-and-so. Is that really how we ought to pray? God is already with so-and-so. And as we were talking, maybe we need to pray, God, can maybe I be with so-and-so in your name, in your presence? And how over this journey, over this last year, he has learned to pray in a different way. And John shared about getting back to the basics and how sometimes we need to really recalibrate and look through the journeys of life to really get at the core of things and back to the basics. Again, after driving almost all night, he was there with us at 6 in the morning. And Pastor Tom, you met him. He shared about experiences in his life growing up in the slums in Kenya, how somebody touched his life and gave him a possibility to study and to have education, and how now he's passing that on, starting his orphanage. And he shared his story there, and he was with us actually a couple weeks ago. And then we had John, who shared about his journey with Christ, and also when it came time to surrender his life, how he gave himself entirely to God, not mattering anything else going on around him. And he made his commitment to Christ and decided to follow him. We shared Pastor Willie. He shared his story as well about being in the islands of Palau and how amazing his journey has been going from the Midwest to this Micronesian islands, and how there he had to deal with chiefs from these islands, and how he learned what faith really was. That faith was knowing that everything was going to be okay in Christ. Knowing that great things lie ahead in Christ, even when everything around him was falling apart. And then Britton shared, and I love Britton's story. She shared about how life, Britton, you're here. I think I saw her here. And there you are, Britton. And she shared about how her life led her to dedicate her life to ministering to children. And children who have difficulty dealing with their emotions. What's the correct term? Because I don't want to be wrong, Britton. Emotionally disabled children. And he shares stories about her being bitten by children and things like that, and the passion that God has given her for that. And then she shared something very real. She said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this another year, but here I am. And we're praying together and sharing those stories. And then Pastor Velez from the Newport News area, he's one of the chaplains here, and he pastors one of the churches there. He shared about prayer and how God answered his prayers, and him and his family were praying for a car. And on, I think it was Christmas night, Christmas Eve, somebody knocked on the door with a brand new car just as they were praying for a car because theirs had broken down and they couldn't fix it. And God answers prayer. And he shared how God has answered prayers ever since. Steve shared his story about how facing a situation with something growing in your head, maybe like a tumor, you know, how that can make you reanalyze things. And he shared how that led him to recalibrate and rethink about life. And here we are sharing this journey together. And then look at that one. I love that one. That's Pastor Cornell. He's our neighbor here. He's at the Chesapeake Church. And he says that that's the face he made when he was visiting one of the cannibal tribals in Peru. And he was doing missionary work there, and they told him that that tribe was known for eating foreigners. And that's the face he made when he encountered them. Yeah, he said, oh, my goodness. And he was trying to convince the chief of the tribe that he was a good man, that he was there not to harm them. And he thought that all they were looking at was food. When they looked at him, they just saw food, food, food. And he said that out of nowhere came their religious leader, their tribe master, their guru. And the guru came, and he said in that moment, I'm toast. I'm going to make a good dinner tonight, I think. That's it. Because now that this guy comes, he's going to tell them, you know, it's finished. And then this guru came and told them that they needed to listen to this man because this man was sent by God. And his life was spared, and that changed to a big smile afterwards, he said. But he shared about the story, and he shared about his journey and how now God has brought him here to work with them. Then we spent time with Ben and Jonna. And Jonna, that was amazing. We talked about everything and how their search for truth, their search for finding something real, something deep, led them throughout their lives with other friends to continue searching and finding. We talked about Sabbath. We talked about rest. We talked about so many things as we shared this journey together. And we get to see Ben and Jonna every week here as well. Then we share with Pastor Caban, who shared about the desires. How do we live our desires? And how can we be sure that God wants to grant us the deepest desires of our hearts? And that was interesting because that's exactly what we had talked about that's already here. And then we talked to Grant Thomas, and he shared his story. And he shared something that I'm so going to use in a couple of weeks. He talked about humble passion. Humble passion. What a phenomenal concept. And how he had this passion, and he wanted to be a rock star, and he loved playing the guitar, and girls looking at him, and he thought the attention felt really, really good, and he thought, man, I'm going to make a gig out of this. And somewhere along, somebody invested in him, a youth pastor, and it completely changed his life. And now he still gets to play that guitar, but for a whole new reason. Now he touches people's lives, and it's because of Grant that today Corey, in part, was leading out here. And how, by sharing the story, we get to touch each other's lives. Then I got to pray with my two sisters. That was beautiful. One recently graduated in November, doctor. We have our first doctor in the family. The other one got married in December and gave us a great excuse to travel overseas. And they shared about how difficult the last few months had been for them. Everything was falling apart. Their wedding was falling apart. The graduation was not going to happen. And somehow, through people who we love, through family, through support, even the night before the wedding where nothing was coming to be, everything worked out just fine because of the love of people around them. They talked about my grandma, who inspired them, who faced life on her own, losing her child when she was only 4 years old, and then her husband, and fighting on, and how having each other makes a difference in everything. Then I got to pray with my mom, who shared about her mom and key moments in her life, stories that actually, to be honest, I was kind of embarrassed. I didn't even know that well. When she was a teenager, my grandfather had a stroke that disabled him, and he died shortly after. And in that crucial part of her life, she lost her pillar. The thing that held her in place, the man figure that she had, just disappeared, vanished. And her mom still relocated them and got them through. Now her mom has dementia, and she's fading. And she shared how a few years ago, she then was moving here to the U.S., something that she wasn't entirely excited about. She loves this country. She really, really does. But it was too hard for her to leave everything behind. And months after getting here, my father falls down a 45-foot tree with a chainsaw in his hand and lies on the floor unconscious. And her thinking, I'm losing the man of my life all over again in a place where I don't want to be. And God somehow working all those things through. And she shared how she looks back at her life. She wouldn't have it any other way. And that really moved me. And then she shared about my grandma. But anyways, you can go watch. And then Sandro shared how over the last 2 weeks, he had to say goodbye to three people who God called to rest, to sleep until he returns, to death. And how he was just struck by this verse that said, leave all your anxieties with me because we have a God who cares. And about that God who cares and who invites us to give him our anxieties. And he's back. And then Robin shared about all her story and how beautifully God is working in her life and in the life of Wyatt, who we prayed during the whole 21 days of prayer. And she shared about how even in broken relationships, and she there was a period in her life where she even came to say, really, I don't believe in this whole God thing anyway. But a friend from TAA came into her life. And you can watch it. It's there on Facebook. It was beautiful. Came at the right time. And that friendship brought her to have confidence in life again. And it is because of that friend that she's here today. Robin, Stephanie, we're so glad that you guys are here. And that's the beauty of sharing the journey. I hope I didn't embarrass you guys. I'm sure not. Pastor Heather Cruz shared about how in a point of her life, she was pastor here in this area. You might know her, many of you. Her parents' faith had to become her own faith when she had to learn this very difficult skill of being still and knowing that he is God. And how through that, she learned to find her identity. And then Renee shared how the story of that God that we read in the Bible, those old stories, is the very same God that does miracles today. And she shared about his miracles in her life. And most importantly, the miracles that she saw in the life of kids that she poured out her life for. She served these kids working as a chaplain, working in dormitory schools, and spending her life ministering to them and seeing how God transformed their lives. And children with anger were able to conquer their anger. Children with habits were able to overcome their habits, and how lives were transformed at an age that could secure them a bright future, because that God that does miracles, did miracles then, still does miracles today. And it was very powerful. And then on the 21st day, I had asked a good friend of mine, his name was Rick LeBate, to share for our last day. And the night before, he called me that he was sick and he wasn't going to be able to make it. So I had to do this very difficult thing of answering those very same questions myself. What have I learned on my journey? How have I grown? How have I changed? And I had to wrestle with that a little bit. And I had to go back to how God has led me over the last year or so. And I remember starting 2017 being here and still trying to get over the fact that I was pastoring a church where we frequently bring dogs to church. I was just still getting over all that trauma, you know? What a special bunch we are. And I'm kidding about that. I love you guys with all my heart. And I was still wrestling actually more with this thought. It was kind of like an overwhelming sense of excitement. Wow, I get to do this. We have something so special going on. And at the same time saying, what is it that I get to do? Because I don't have a clue of what I'm doing here. Anyways, and wrestling between those two things, still feeling very scared and insecure. And that's how kind of last year started, trying to figure out, what is God doing here, and how do we get to be a part of it? And I know we had all these plans for the year, and we were optimistic, and we were excited, and we had all these hopes and dreams, and I thought, man, what a great opportunity that I had to journey with such great people and spend this time together. And we had thought about all these activities we were going to do, outreach, and we're going to invite people and connect and talk about Jesus to others. And we started with our journey groups. That was one of the very first things that we did. And we got those journey groups started, and it really, really was building into something great. And I was so excited about what God was doing here. And then spring came along, and spring was rough. I remember that it came a point where I spent more time in the hospitals than in my office or here at church or anything like that. Over the lapse of a couple of weeks, I got to know every hospital in the area, Princess Anne, Norfolk Central, Chesapeake Regional, all of them, and even the subclinics that they have out there, because it seemed that for some reason, I had to go and spend more time with people who were in pain, hurting, facing things, scared. And then I started having to pray with all these individuals about jobs and about things that were not going so well. And then I had to pray with all these families that were deciding to move away from our little church family, and I remember being devastated because I knew that this family was moving away because of work, and this family was moving away because of work, and I said, God, we need these families. This is not how it was supposed to be. You're supposed to be bringing families in, God, not taking them away. And then I remember a period right there in the spring where we had to cancel a lot of events because it seemed that every other week
we were mourning loss. And it was painful. And it was disheartening. And I came to really wrestle with God and ask God, what in the world is it that you're doing here? We were planning for victory. We were planning for celebration. We were planning for good things, for growth, for joy, for happiness. And we had to put those plans aside because we're just learning to be here with each other. That's all we can do right now. And I remember just asking God, what's going on? These are the people whom you love. And I'm supposed to be talking about how good you are and how much you love us. And it's not going that way. And sometimes life is like that. I remember my grandpa always saying, he passed away several years ago, when the bad ones come, they come all at once. Have you felt that? When the bad one comes, feels like you're in that dryer machine on the fast spinning mode, and it's just one after the other. It's like being caught in a wave that keeps turning and you cannot get out. And it seems like when the bad one comes, they come all at once. At the end of the year, you guys remember that I got a chance to travel to Argentina. My sister gave me that beautiful excuse. Experience of a lifetime. We got to celebrate. I thought I was going to bring a whole bunch of pictures to share with you. I couldn't find them for the life of me, so I'll put them on Facebook when I find them. If not, Cindy's going to have my head in a platter because I might have lost them. I don't know where all the pictures from the camera are. I just found the ones from my phone. I got the chance while I was in Argentina to drive the fastest car in the world. You know what the fastest car in the world is? Huh? The Bugatti? No. I got to drive a rental. The rental is the fastest car in the world because you just don't care and you drive it till the end. Good. You laughed. Okay, at least you got that one. And we put over 5,000 miles on that car in a lapse of just a few days. We got to see family that we hadn't seen in years. We got to see from the Amazon forest almost right there at the border all the way to almost subarctic weather, how much that journey took us around. I met family that I had never met in my life before, my mom's family, and that was so exciting. And then Christmas came, and Christmas was very different for us because Christmas caught us in the middle of a journey. And I was still with my parents for Christmas Day, and Christmas Day my parents were going to go down south all the way to the glaciers in the southern tip of Patagonia. Cindy and I, with the two kids, we figured out 5,000 miles is where we draw the line. We cannot do the 7,000 miles that they did. But we said we still want to spend a day with them. So this is what we did. We started Christmas Day cruising together, and we said we're going to go down about 200 miles. We're going to have lunch together, and then we're going to go back, and they're going to continue their journey down south. So we did that. And everything was going fairly well. We were enjoying each other's company. We swapped people from cars so we could spend time with each other. And it was going really, really nice. But we got to the city where we were going to have lunch, Esquel, and we noticed that some people like to close things on Christmas Day. You know, who would have thought of that? You know, we're on vacation, so the world should accommodate to us. And we spent about 2 hours looking for a place to eat, and we finally had a hotel that had a cafeteria open, and we had lunch there. We had lunch, everything was great. And then my sister said, you know what? Before you guys leave, since you came all this way, I hope it didn't come from nothing. You should go check out this national park that it's in the city. It's called Los Alerces. And they have a 1,000-year-old tree and a glacier that you can see. A little tip of advice, never listen to your sister. It's a bad idea. But we listened to my sister, and we found a sign, and we just followed the sign. We said goodbye to my parents. My parents kept driving south. And we found a sign for Parque Nacional Los Alerces, and we started going there. And we get there, and I make it through the southern entrance of the national park. And we go in, and we do about 15 miles, and we find the ranger's office.
And we say, great, this is where we find all the information to go see the thousand-year-old tree, and we find the information to go see the glacier. Fantastic. We get to the ranger's office, and it was closed because it was Christmas Day. Go figure. And then we saw a sign that scared us a bit because the sign said that after 2 p.m., the southern gate, the entrance of the national park, would be closed. And the only exit was the northern gate. We said, cool. You know, we came in the south. Let's get out the north. It was about 15 miles here. Let's just keep going north and see what happens. We were disappointed. The glacier, we didn't get to see. The thousand-year-old tree, we didn't get to see. But we started going. We don't leave the parking lot, and it starts raining. It starts raining, 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 raining. Okay, we won't be able to get out of the car much to enjoy the national park. About 5 miles in, the asphalt runs out, and it becomes gravel. We were with a nice little rental car. Said, okay, so don't worry about it. You know, this is fun. The gravel became mud in about 2 minutes. And the mud started revealing that under the dirt, there were boulders of large stones cratering all the way. And we did about 15 miles, continued for another 15 miles, and we started noticing that this phenomenon was happening, that these things that looked at like puddles at first were transforming into streams that were crossing the road. And in that moment, I fulfilled my childhood dream of becoming a rally driver. And we hit that car hard, and I told Cindy, I don't know how far we need to go, but if we go slow, it might be night here. We pull out our phones to try to get directions or where to go. Of course, no reception whatsoever. And we had never been there before, so it's not like the GPS was going to say the location because that was the first time there. After about an hour and a half, we run into a Toyota Hilux. Now, if you've been in the third world or any country outside the U.S., you know what a Toyota Hilux is. It's the most rugged pickup truck, indestructible pickup truck that you can find, you can buy. It's a diesel engine. It's like the Tacoma, but even more reliable and more solid and beefier. And we find a Toyota Hilux on the side of the road and a guy just sitting there with his arms closed. So I pull out my window and I ask him, you know, hey, we're new here. We're just going by. You know, what do we do? He said, oh, yeah. You just keep going north and there's an exit north. And I said, great, great. So what is it, like 5 miles, like 3 miles? So no, it's about 85 miles. And I asked him, 85 miles, where does the pavement start? Just shortly. Oh, no. It's 85 miles and then another 30 miles till the asphalt begins again. And at that moment, Cindy and I just look at each other. And you have to remember that Cindy gets car sick driving around the neighborhood. And we start getting real worried. Because over the last 3 hours, we only had done like 15 miles. And we keep going, and we keep going, and we're scared, and the boulders keep getting bigger, and the streams keep getting bigger. And then we come to this place where the ridge, the mountain, kind of like divides. It's like not the continental divide, but it's one ridge that you cross. And we start seeing the signs. Elevation, 1,000 meters. Elevation, 1,200 meters. And at one point, I was driving in third gear, on second gear, and the car kept slowing down. And I told Cindy, I don't know if we're going to make it. And we just see up, more rain coming down. The water is now going against us with the streams. And I'm trying to swerve between the boulders. And I put it on first gear, saying, Cindy, if the car doesn't go on first gear, I don't know what's going to happen. And Cindy says, babe, I don't know if we're going to make it. We might going to have to sleep here. I don't know if we're going to make it on the other side. And she starts kind of panicking because Cindy can panic. Christian is getting upset and asking, like, how much longer? And Adriana is just crying and yelling. And I'm just thinking to myself, I don't know if we're going to make it. We put it on first gear. We keep moving. Must have been like 15 miles an hour. We did like 100 kilometers an hour on the straights, but this was just impossible. And we kept going. The signs started going 1,250 meters, 1,400 meters, and then right around 1,500 meters, we begin to crest that mountain. And something unbelievably beautiful happened in that moment. And it sounds like I'm making it up, honestly. And I'd say the same thing if I was sitting in your shoes. But right as we were cresting the mountain, the wind became a breeze. And the clouds just began to clear. And all of a sudden, we are at the top of this mountain range. And we see this beautiful blue lake. This green pines behind it, beautifully decorating flowers. And then on top of that, we see the Andes Mountains, snow-covered peaks. And framing all that, we see this beautiful rainbow. And something happened because all that noise of the rain and the children yelling and everything just stopped. And I just heard like a gasp. Wow, that is beautiful. Even Christian appreciated the beauty of that scene. I was so taken away that I didn't even take a picture. Can you believe it? And from that moment forward, it was just beauty after beauty after beauty. And I'll find the pictures and I'll post them on Facebook, I promise. That trip, that adventure, turned out to be one of the most beautiful things that we did in our journey. It was horrible. It was painful. I was sure that the car was going to break, because those cars are not built that well and they're not designed for that. I was certain that we were going to have a flat tire. I was certain that we were going to sleep in the woods, in the middle of a national park, in the middle of nowhere on Christmas night where no rangers were going to find us. But we just kept going. And we came to this point where we were going to be able to see the whole picture. And when we saw the whole picture, we just realized how beautiful it all really is. And that's how life many times is. As I look at last year, in many ways, it was one of the most difficult years in my life. I had to learn to just be there. I had to learn to not ask questions and just hope and pray. But I also learned that last year was one of the most beautiful years in my life. Because I learned the value of people. I learned the value of each other. Last year, we also got to celebrate so many things. We had over 10 people who decided to be part of this crazy RGF family through the course of last year, through baptisms and professions of faith. We got to laugh with people who we cried with. We got to celebrate newness of life and overcoming so many obstacles. And we got through this together. Because there is beauty in the journey when we do this journey together. Our tithe went up 2.8%, if I may say so. And this year that has been so difficult and so challenging has also been one of the most beautiful and most enriching years of my entire life. And as I look back now at those 21 stories, as I look at my story, there's a few common threads that I discovered. Nobody shared that they had it all figured out. Nobody shared that, hey, everything is good. Nobody shared, hey, we're killing it. Nobody shared that, hey, I've been from victory to victory to victory. Everyone shared how challenging and how difficult their journey has been. But here's the other common denominator that I heard in all those stories. In all those stories, there was an overwhelming sense of hope, uncertainty that something better lies ahead, a certainty that there is a rainbow on the other side of the mountain, the certainty that the sun will shine again. And here's the other common thread that all the stories had. All the stories had others. All the stories had each other. And in all the stories, there were people who touched our lives, who walked with us and helped us to get to the other side.
That is why we can be hard-pressed, yes. That's why we can be hard-pressed from every side, but never crushed. We can be perplexed and suffering, and we can express all these things, but we never find ourselves in despair. We can be persecuted, but never abandoned. We can be struck down, but never destroyed. But not only that, but all these things, Paul wrote, they produce in us endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. And that's the story that ties all this together. Because there was a son, his name was Jesus, who made a journey down to this earth, who journeyed down to a cross, and he gave himself for us so that we can now journey towards him and in him find hope. So where are you in your journey? It's February. Now it's time to really talk about this new year. Now that all this January frenzy has gone, and boy, has it been a January. Boy, where are you on your journey? I was reading a letter that this sweet lady wrote in 1864. She had lost a six-month-old son. She had lost a 14-year-old son. Her husband had died just a few years ago. And she was writing to this other man who was going through difficulties. And this is how, what she wrote. The evidence we have of God's care and love for us is expressed all around us. The eye is not to be fastened upon the deformity, upon the curse, but upon the riches of the grace of Christ that has been provided so abundantly. That we may live in this world and act our part in the great web of humanity. I love that phrase. And yet, not be of the world, as pilgrims and as strangers, looking for the bright things of God. She's quoting there Hebrews 11. This chapter about all these people, this Noahs and this Moseses and this Abrahams and this Isaacs and this Jacobs, all these individuals who had very imperfect lives, but they all realized that they were passing by. Because there is something that happens when we realize that we're on a journey. The way we look at time changes. Because nothing lasts forever in this earth. All the good and all the bad, all the pain and all the hurt, nothing lasts forever. But if we invest ourselves in the things that really matter, those things are for eternity. Because it changes realizing that we're on this journey. It changes us to look at our values differently. And maybe one of the things we need to learn is to detach from the things that are just passing by on that road. Sometimes we get fixated with things that are just on the side of the road, and we need to move forward, but we attach to those things. And maybe God wants us to attach to the people that are on the road with us, moving together. Maybe to disconnect from some things, to be able to connect with what really matters. It changes us, and it teaches us to face that future with hope. Because everything is passing by, but the destination is certain, and the people who are going on that journey are also certain, because we're in this great web of humanity, and when we allow our journey to touch other people's journeys, something beautiful and amazing happens. As we were coming down the road, I realized that all around the road were these flowers. For some reason, I only found these pictures. I couldn't find the ones of the actual journey. I don't know if my phone has selective memory. But all throughout the road, all around the road, as we were coming down from the mountains, it was littered with those beautiful flowers. And I stopped to take a picture of those flowers. As the flowers in God's wise economy are constantly drawing the properties from earth and air, the earth, dirtiness, the messiness of life, the air, the spirit, the sunshine of God. They develop into a pure and beautiful
buds and flowers and give forth the fragrance to delight the senses. So shall it be with us. We draw from God's promises all that peace, that comfort, that hope that will develop in us the fruits of peace, joy, and faith. And by bringing these promises into our own life, we bring them always into the lives of others. Then let us appropriate these promises to ourselves. They are like the precious flowers in the garden of God. We are on this journey together. We are like those precious flowers littering the way. We get to touch each other's lives. We get to strike the chords in this web of humanity. And we can be assured that together we will make it. So I don't know where you are in your journey. Maybe you're in a very deep valley. There's a rainbow ahead. There's something beautiful that is waiting just on the other side. Maybe just keep moving, keep pressing on. Maybe just another mile, just another step. Move forward. But the sun will shine again. The rainbow, God said, is a reminder that he will never destroy the earth again, but it's also a reminder that after every storm, there is beauty. After every night, the sun rises again. There is a new day coming if we just keep moving ahead. Just keep moving. Maybe you're in a hilltop. Just keep moving. Maybe you'll come down one day. Remember that there are things that are just passing by, but we keep moving. Don't lose the faith. Don't be discouraged. Keep moving forward. I ask you to draw three dots there. There might be people in your life who have supported you, who have held you up when you were down. And maybe you never got a chance to tell those people how much they have really meant to you. And maybe they need to hear that. Maybe they need to know the difference that they made in your life. Maybe it just helps you to recognize the people that God has placed around you. So as you go home, I want you to put names to those dots, and maybe you need to put a lot more dots there. Maybe these are the flowers that are littering your little journey. And recognize the blessing of those companies. But then I ask you to also put three dots up top. Those are three people that will need your support. Those are three people that your life will touch and will help them get to the other side. And maybe it's something that someone you know who is going through a hard time right now, someone who is suffering. I want you to put that name and look at your journey ahead and see how you're going to be there for them. Maybe it might just be presence. Maybe it must be the gift of hearing. Maybe it might be a word of encouragement. But there's people in your journey that are needing you to make a difference in their lives. So put their names there. And if you don't have any names, put question marks and start praying for God to show you who those individuals are. And then make a big, big sun behind you and a breeze that is blowing because it's pushing your way. And put a big rainbow ahead because there is assurance on the other side. And I don't know where you are on your journey, but keep moving forward. And let the journey change you. And let the journey change those around you. And let the journey change how you see the world, how you see yourself, how you see everything around us. I found this quote, and with this I finish. I've lost the clicker. The band can come up front. This is it. We are travelers on a cosmic journey. Stardust, swirling and dancing in the eddies and whirlpools of infinity. Life is eternal. Life in Christ. We love. We have stopped for a moment to encounter each other, to meet, to love, to share. This is a precious moment. It is a little parenthesis in eternity. This is what we've got. But there is beauty in the journey. If we keep moving forward and we keep touching each other's life for good, there is a rainbow on the other side. The sun is shining, and we will get there if we keep moving forward.
Please stand. Mm-hmm. presence at your throne.
More beautiful than anything we could imagine. Any picture that we can paint, any photograph that we can take, anything that we can articulate, you came to prepare a future for us that is more beautiful than anything we could ever dream or imagine. You came to our rescue. And now you invite us to follow you. To take one step each day. Sometimes it seems like we're limping, we're just making progress. Sometimes it seems that the wind is blowing so hard against us that we cannot stand. But that's when you're there. To take our hand, to move us forward. Through the touch of other people who you place in your journey. And through the touch that we can give other people to encourage them in their journey. So we thank you for the promise. promise of that rainbow. We thank you for that bright future you have secured for us. And we thank you for the strength that you will give us each day to make it there. And we thank you for your presence in our lives to guide us each step of the way, even when we don't think we can make it anymore. And lastly, thank you for each other. Because this journey is not meant to be done alone. And that's why you have brought us here. So we can be here for each other. And that's why you brought us here, so we can also look for ways to be there with people out there who you place in our influence. So we can help them to get to that beautiful morning as well. So thank you for Jesus Christ, for his journey and his promise. In his name. Next week, same time.